My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
So, general manager Adam Peters and head coach Dan Quinn, on the first day of veterans reporting to training camp, spent about a half an hour with the local beat media out in Ashburn. And I thought there were some interesting things. I mean, nothing earth-shattering. The very first question was from John Keim about the status of Jaden Daniels as a starter. Like, when would be the time that they would name him a starter? And Dan Quinn just said, you know, it's a journey, it's a process. When, you know, we'll know when he's ready, and he'll know when he's ready. And when we know, we'll say it. And then a little bit later on in the press conference, Sam Fortier asked both, why is it important not to name Jaden the starter right now? Is it about keeping him motivated? And Dan Quinn said, no, it's not about that. This time of year essentially is for competition. You know, that's the way he handled that one. Dan's pretty good at acknowledging whomever it is who's asking the question in a very polite and sort of encouraging way, and then not giving you a real specific answer most of the time. I've learned that so far about Quinn. But look, he's going to be the starter barring injury. I mean, that's a 95% probability. He'd really have to mess it up. And they'd really have to lose a level of confidence in him that they have right now for him not to start September 8th in Tampa. I've said this several times in the past, but I think it would be not necessarily a 5-alarm fire if he didn't start in Tampa, but it would require at least a couple of trucks. There'd be a little small smoldering smoke if he's not ready to start with Marcus Mariota on the roster. I mean, everything we've heard from the moment he got drafted is all super over-the-top positive. If somehow he didn't start, well, then it was a step back during the next few months. Obviously, I'm leaving out the possibility, knock on wood, of injury. When will he name the starter? He certainly didn't answer that. I don't know. Maybe after the first preseason game, the second preseason game. Maybe it'll be all the way at the end of the preseason. You know, which you still, you know, because of the 3-game preseason now and the date on that preseason game, which is, it's actually the last preseason preseason game for the entire league because it's a Monday night or a Sunday night nationally televised game on NBC against the Patriots at FedEx Field or at, you know, whatever the field's called, Commander's Field. Maybe it's after that game, but remember, I mean, that's on August 25th. You have another 2 weeks until the opener. So maybe it happens sometime then. I don't know. To be honest with you, I think it'll be very anticlimactic when they name Jaden Daniels the starter. To me, it seems pretty obvious. So here are some of the other things that he said that I wrote down that I felt were kind of interesting. You know, there's been a theme to the Adam Peters, Dan Quinn talking about what they're trying to build. You know, it started with both of their introductory press conferences where they talked about player traits, you know, meaning what kind of player they're looking for, what kind of person they're looking for. But the physical, you know, theme of fast, physical, playing with speed, playing with physicality is something that they just keep repeating over and over again. And I love that. Like, to me, the teams that have always been the most fun to watch, and look, it's been a part of what the 49ers have been, you know, during the last several years. The 49ers are one of the most physical teams, and they are a fast team. Dallas defensively, speed, you know, this is what they want in their players. They want fast, physical, and they want them to play fast. And that's been repeated and been a theme of almost every single one of their press conferences. You know, that's what they're looking for. They're looking for fast, physical, highly competitive, relentless, motored players. That's what they're looking for. And so the players that they signed during the offseason either fit that description, or if they didn't, there was something else that they brought to the table, you know, in perhaps experience or culture. You know, I'm thinking of Bobby Wagner, but he played pretty fast and physically last year. But yeah, I mean, that has been a theme to the season, to the off season, and I think that that's the way Adam Peters finds players and identifies players that he wants, and how Quinn wants to coach them. Ben Standig asked, what counts as a successful season this year? You know, not, you know, asking for a record, and Quinn answered it pretty quickly. He said identity, you know, and then he got back to speed, physicality, winning football in the most critical moments. But what they want to establish this year is they want to establish an organizational identity when it comes to their football team. And, you know, you think about the NFL as fans of the league. How many teams truly have an identity? I mean, it used to be years ago when you could keep the same players on the team for a long period of time, you know, pre-salary cap days, I'm really referring to, but even in the years after. But, you know, Pittsburgh has an identity. Baltimore has an identity. I think, you know, to a certain degree, San Francisco has developed an identity. You know, they're going to run the football. They're going to run the football the Shanahan way. They're going to be, you know, fast and physical on both sides of the ball. But man, teams and teams' rosters change so quickly that identity thing is a little bit, I think, overrated league-wide. But Quinn spoke to it. He's spoken to it before. And he answered Ben's question saying, you know, what would count as a successful season is if we're able to establish an identity. And then he went on to say, speed, physicality, winning football in the most critical moments. And look, he also keeps telling us that's what you're going to see. You're going to see us play fast with great speed, with great motor, with relentless competitiveness, with physicality. So whether that equates to, you know, 8, 9, 10 wins this year, or whether that's a 5, 6, 7 win team, but you see it coming and you see this identity being established, you know, time will tell. But that's what he wants. He's very clear on that, on the kind of team he wants. And he and Adam Peters, DQ and AP, are in simpatico on that. They, you know, it's one of the reasons Peters loved Quinn. It's one of the reasons Quinn thought it would be a great fit. The two have talked about having a shared vision, an aligned vision on the kind of player they want and the kind of identity that they want to establish. You know, this isn't going to be a Miami Dolphins team. You know, this isn't going to be, you know, the Chiefs. This isn't this. They want a physical, highly competitive, tough team that can run. So Adam Peters did answer the J.P. Finley asked the question about the Brandon Ayuk posting the still, and he corrected J.P. saying it wasn't actual film or footage, it was a still pic. And he said, we handled that internally, and you know they're not necessarily concerned about that. I'm looking for the exact quote. I was writing it down quickly. I'm going to see if somebody else. He said, quote, I think first and foremost, he didn't have practice footage, a still, but we handled it internally, close quote. I don't think anybody was really excited about that moment, but I don't think that anybody thought it was the revealing of the 2024 offense either. What else here? I thought it was interesting when Dan Quinn was asked about, actually, I think it was Adam Peters was asked, maybe by Sam Fortier, about what made him think that Cornelius Lucas could hold down the left tackle spot. And he said, you know, that they had talked to the last staff. They understood what kind of person he was, what kind of, I think, work ethic. But he also specifically pointed to the one thing that a lot of the advanced numbers have indicated on Cornelius Lucas, and that is that he is a good pass blocker, maybe not as good in the run game. And he said he's really good as a pass protector. You know, there was another part, and I'm looking for it. Someone asked Dan Quinn on the roster where he was most confident. And he said, what may be perceived externally as a weakness, I'm paraphrasing here because I was writing notes quickly, might be perceived different internally. And I thought immediately when he said that, offensive line. Now, he could have, you know, meant, you know, secondary, or those would be the two areas, I think, of concern for the most part, right? Offensive line and corner specifically. But I think, you know, I felt like maybe when he said what may be perceived externally as a weakness might be perceived different internally. They did change their offensive line to a certain degree. Tyler Biotish was added. Nick Allegretti was added. And Lucas, you know, is penciled in as the starter right now at left tackle. Wiley and Cosme on the right side. You do have Brandon Coleman, who they drafted in the third round out of TCU. I wonder whether or not they looked at the offensive line. Now, let's not forget, they did try to trade into the latter portion of the first round to take, I think, Mims, but an offensive lineman for sure. And they weren't able to do it. So they did identify it as an area of need or an area of interest. And it could have been just that there was a player there that they really liked and thought was worthwhile to trade up to get. But we've talked about this a lot, you know. A lot of the advanced numbers didn't sort of describe or reflect what a lot of people thought about the offensive line. They were mid-tier offensive line in the league on pass block win rate. And so Maybe that was recognized also by Adam Peters and Dan Quinn and the staff. And maybe they believe that Cliff Kingsbury's offense and a different quarterback will make the offensive line look better. And maybe they think that it's Tyler Biadasz that really will bring everything together. You know, I think that was a key signing for them in the offseason. I think with a rookie quarterback, it was very important that they get a veteran center, which they were able to do. But I thought that was interesting. What else here on my... one of the last questions was about punt returns and kickoff returns. And he said, you know, punt returns are a guy that can make the catch and make that first guy miss. You know, 7 to 8 yards is a good punt returner, is a good punt return. I think Jamison Crowder is likely going to be, is the likely punt returner. I would certainly think of him first as a punt returner on this roster. Are there other people that can do it that are new to the team or have been discovered by the new coaching staff? Possibly. You know, we know what Dax Milne was as a punt returner. Able to make the catch, but not much more. I think Jahan Dotson could do it. I don't know if they want him in that position of doing it. There may be, you know, this guy Kaz Allen was a guy that there were high hopes for last year. He got, you know, he was called up at some point during the season. And we had, I think it was Jeremy Reeves who was on the show with us a few weeks back. I think it was Reeves. And I asked him to give me one player that people aren't thinking about that he is excited about and he thinks will make a contribution, and he said Kaz Allen. But I think it's Crowder to start. And then I thought the most interesting part of the answer was on kickoff returns. What he said specifically, that he's looking, they believe that it takes running back skills, you know, and you've got to be good at fielding balls that hit the ground. You know, for those of you that are still unfamiliar with the new kickoff rules, you're not going to get kicks sailing through the end zone. They may decide, we'll give it to you at the 30. It's better than the big returns or the big potential return that we're giving up by punching it down there between the 20 and the goal line in that landing zone area. If it hits right around in that landing zone area and goes into the end zone, the ball comes out to the 20, which is why most teams, I really believe, will have two returners. He talked about somebody as an infielder, somebody as an outfielder, somebody that can get it, I guess, on a ball that's kicked short in hops, and then somebody who's back deep who can field it, you know, if it off the hop or off the catch. But he talked about running back skills. And this is the point that, you know, you've heard some of the really smart coaches in the league talk about, that this is not going to be a play where you have to block in space as much as you've had to in the past, meaning it will look more and will be treated more as a play similar to a line of scrimmage play. You know, so you can get bigger guys on the field to block. Whereas in the past, it was tough to have your biggest guys that weren't mobile on the field asking them to block in space. And then in terms of the players, I think around the league, you're going to see some of their best players from the line of scrimmage, skill position players, back on kickoffs. When he said running back skills, Chris Rodriguez returned kickoffs. You know, is it Chris Rodriguez who's back there? Maybe Brian Robinson Jr. is back there as well. You know, and you end up with two running backs back there. But you got to be able to field these kicks off the bounce more often than not. Because they're going to be kicked low and they're going to be angled into that, you know, 20 to the goal line area. It's going to be fascinating. And we'll start to see it in the preseason in a few weeks. What else? If you want to weigh in, 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980, what did you make specifically of his answer about Jaden Daniels and when he would be, you know, when they'd feel comfortable naming him starter? Anything else that stood out? Phone lines are open, 301-230-0980. There was one other thing he said that I thought was interesting, and I'll mention that when we come back. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, the Team 980.com. Odyssey.com. We are also free and live on the Odyssey app.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
On Jaden Daniels, when and if they'll name him the starter, Dan Quinn said, quote, "It's not a secret, but it is a journey and a process. So when he's ready, we'll know, and he'll also know. And when we know, we'll say it." That's fine. I honestly don't care when they do it. I don't know that it's meaningful to anything. I think everybody out there understands that Jaden Daniels is their best option, and Jaden Daniels was the number two overall pick, and Jaden Daniels played 55 or 56 college games and is as experienced as any quarterback coming into the league in a long time, and that with a team that's coming off a 4-13 season and is ready to start a journey to hopefully something that results in sustained winning year after year, he's going to be the starting quarterback in the opener at Tampa Bay on September 8th. We'll see how it goes. Again, I mean, when he says it's not a secret, but it is a journey and a process, yeah, it's not a secret. That's who they want to start. That's who they think they will be starting, if not the person they know will be starting. If he isn't, by the time we get to September 8th, you got yourself a story and maybe a concern, other than injury, of course. So a couple of other things. If you want to weigh in on anything you heard during the press conference, which we carried live here, specifically on Jaden Daniels and Quinn's answer to that, 301-230-0980. We'll leave phone lines open if you want to weigh in on any of it. There were a couple of other other things that he said that stood out. First of all, he said that as a head coach, this is the first time he's brought rookies in early. Now, several teams did that this year, and several teams have done that in previous years. The rookies arrived on Thursday. There were no, you know, real practices. There were walkthroughs and lots of meetings. And he talked about some of the things that they could get, you know, more work in, like red zone. He specifically pointed that out as part of the answer. I wonder if the reason the first time he went to rookies early was because of his rookie quarterback. It might be. And then Adam Peters was asked about sort of the balance of, you know, winning and also, you know, doing what's right for the future. Because let's face it, nobody's picking them to win more games than they lose this year. Nobody's got expectations of winning big right off the bat or even winning small right off the bat. The expectation is that they're not going to be a playoff team this year, but that they are going to be building something that maybe in 2025, 2026 will start to look like and round into something resembling a contender. But Adam Peters, you know, said, you know, there is that line, you know, of winning now and building for the future. And he said, you know, it's the NFL, it's the not for long league. And I think that's been the mindset out there since they took over, you know, this idea of recalibration, not rebuilding. You know, Quinn said from the moment, or I think it was Quinn, it may have been Peters, from the moment they were introduced, we're not rebuilding anything. We're recalibrating. Look, these guys, I think, have come into a situation where they're not, you know, taking over the Carolina Panthers roster. They're not necessarily taking over the Denver roster or the Patriots roster. You know, this roster, not great, understood. All right, much worse than we thought it was a year ago today, because a year ago we thought they were pretty good defensively. But I think that they've seen some things with some of the players that have been here that they think mix well with the players they brought in. And the bottom line is, if they got it right on the quarterback and he is ready sooner rather than later, I bet you in that building they feel like they can win more than they lose this year, that they could win 9 games. If everything breaks right, you know, there's the hate playing the game, but there is the last place schedule. You know, they have, you know, just in their first 4 games against the Giants and the Cardinals and Tampa. Tampa was a playoff team last year. Tampa won a playoff game. They almost won too. I mean, they were right there with Detroit in the divisional round. You know, they have games against Carolina. They have 2 against the Giants. They have a game, you know, against the Titans. They have a game against the Saints. We don't know what they're going to look like. They got a game against the Bears, who also have a super young quarterback. Cardinals, you know, and Bucks. So I'm sure they look at it and they say, look, we have enough left over in key spots. Got a really good receiver. Got some good defensive linemen in the interior. You know, we really like some of the players that are young, like Quan Martin and maybe a Benjamin St. Juice. I'm not sure what they think of Benjamin St. Juice. I'm not exactly sure what they think of Benjamin St. Juice. I've liked Benjamin St. Juice. I like the long-armed, you know, physical corner. Benjamin St. Juice did not have a great year last year, and it's a whole new scheme. You would think Benjamin St. Juice would kind of fit the Joe Witt Jr., Dan Quinn, you know, physical build of the corner they're looking for. But I'm curious to see what happens at corner. I think it's a really interesting position as we go through the rest of the summer and we near opening day, because right now you would say St. Juice, Forbes, Sanristil, you know, as the nickel corner. But they brought in a veteran in Michael Davis. They have, you know, a guy that's been here in Christian Holmes. There are a couple of guys that they brought in. You know, the kid from Colorado State, the guy from Dallas that they obviously paid and they like a little bit. I think that's a really interesting position to watch. It would not shock me at all if the corners that are on the field to start the season are maybe different than what we're thinking now. We'll see. But yeah, I think they believe that there's an opportunity to do more than what most are thinking. Mitch wants to weigh in. Mitch, go ahead. Mitch, you there?
Yeah. Hey, how you doing?
Hey, what's up, Mitch?
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Hey, it's definitely, tell him, you know, Jaden Daniels, he's a starter. I'm wondering who's going to be battling for the second string, because if Marcus is in there for some reason, hopefully not injury, you got to play more interest in the backup battle. I mean, hopefully the team will keep three quarterbacks. And I don't want to see we want to see Robinson or Eckler doing kickoffs and punt returns. Those are your two top two running backs, right?
Yeah, it would not surprise me if Rodriguez is one of the guys penciled in as one of the kickoff returners. But again, with the new rules, you're going to have two guys back. It's not going to be one returner anymore. You're going to have two guys back. You're not going to allow for the field to be exposed to a kick that hits at the 10 and goes into the end zone for a touchback to the 20, which is what would happen. You know, in the spring league, pretty much uniform across the board, two returners. And from what I've been reading with some of the teams that have talked about this, the coaches have talked about it, it appears as if it's going to be two returners back as the norm. That could change, but I would think Rodriguez is definitely one of them.
Yeah, because he's talented. He could start for quite a few teams. We're deep at running back. So one more thing, this new rule with the kickoff, that's to generate more point, more scoring, right? That the whole adjustment.
Say that again.
The whole point of the new rule with the kickoffs, it's been so long when they announced it. It's been since,
yeah.
It seems like a long time ago. Is this the logistics is just to score more points, or is it make it safer?
Well, thanks for the call, Mitch. Appreciate it. The reason the new kickoff rules is because the NFL hates plays that are non-plays, and the kickoff had become a play in which there was no action. You know, the highest percentage, I think, in league history last year of touchbacks. So they did not want to see most of their kickoffs be non-plays. They want to see it, you know, be a play with actual action and the potential for exciting action. But at the same time, trying to keep it a safe play. And that's why you have, you know, an adoption of what they've tried in, you know, the various spring leagues. I can't keep track of all of them, but I think it's the XFL, but which is now maybe the UFL. But the kicker kicks off from the 35-yard line, which was the same as the rule recently. But the alignment is much different. You have the kick coverage team lining up at the 40-yard line. You have the kickoff return team lining up with most of their players at the 35-yard line, within 5 yards of each other. And the rules essentially are, if that ball is kicked short of the 20, it comes out to the 40. You know, if you don't field it. If it gets into the end zone as a touchback, it comes out to the 30. But if it hits in the field of play beyond the 20 and before the goal line and goes through the end zone, it comes out to the 20. And what will happen is you will see teams try to placement kick inside the 15, somewhere between the 15 and the 5-yard line, hoping the ball hits the ground. And once it hits the ground, you know, at that point, everybody can move. But it's going to look more like a line of scrimmage play. I don't know what the results are going to be. I'm so interested to see what the results will be. I think if you start to see returns that average beyond the 30-yard line, starting field position at, say, the 34, the 35 off of returns, then teams will then just go back to kicking it out of the end zone and say, we'll give it to you at the 30. You know, and then at that point, they'll have to, you know, the competition committee will have to discuss whether or not they should penalize teams for touchbacks, because their original rule, they wanted it to come out to the 35-yard line. Yeah, it'll be very interesting to see what happens. All right. Couple things to get to that are non-football team related. A couple of other stories in sports that I wanted to touch on. We'll do that. And then Logan Paulson, you'll hear from him and his thoughts on the team beginning at 12 noon. It's the Kevin Sheehan Show, and this last segment was presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile, and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. All right, there are a couple things I want to get to here momentarily. Logan Paulson will join us at noon, but Sabah's on the phone, and she wants to weigh in, I think, on the press conference that just happened. What's up, Sabah? We haven't heard from you in a while. How are you?
Hey there, Kevin. Thanks for taking my call. I've been listening. It's just, you know, you're usually during working hours for me, so but I got some vacation coming up. So, the press conference was fine with me. I just like the fact that they're going to hopefully make people earn their positions. I don't care where you drafted. Earn the right to play. Show your teammates that you're the best person, guy for the job, and then you announce people. So you don't just anoint people and give them things. And the second thing I really want to chime in, if you don't mind, about this name thing in your interview with Mark Ein. I'm with that Robert guy. I mean, it's not the same, Kevin. I thought that I was so joyous when Dan sold the team because I thought that everything would come back to normal. Well, nothing's normal. It's like they gave my guy, my son, puberty blockers, and now he's never going to be the same again.
Oh my
I mean,
gosh.
You know, it's horrible. I mean, I'd almost rather have Dan on the team and we be the Redskins. I want my identity. It's a bad taste of mouth.
Identity is just a word that's used a lot these days, as puberty blockers is a word that's used a lot in the discourse. Yeah. But I didn't think you'd use both in the same sentence.
Stuff, and what happens
I get it. And you heard what I said.
Yeah.
Robert wrote, make it right for those of us that are happy Snyder is gone, but not as happy as we should be. I think he summed it up for a lot of people. I agree.
Yes, he did. And I'd rather have Snyder back and my name back. See, Snyder duped us one. He won in the end. He said, I'll never sell the Redskins. And guess what he never did? He never sold the Redskins. He's the one that won. He's got $6 billion, and we're left to cry about it. And we can't even celebrate.
He didn't sell that team. I hear you, but I don't think that I would make that swap because
I would.
Here's the thing. I think more than you, I think some of us were already losing our passion because he had worn us out after 22, 23 years. And then the name was just a death blow in many ways. But no, I don't think I would even think about swapping, giving the name back and having Dan back, because you were never, ever going to be good as long as he owned the team.
But at least I knew who we were. Now, one more thing on the name, Kevin, if you don't mind. I think you're right. I think you said this, but if we get the name back, just go to Redskins, because you're not going to make everybody happy. So you
They're
might
not
well make
doing
the
it, Sabah.
Happy.
The league will
just
not let
out.
Them do it.
Hear me out. People like me will buy tickets. You know, I bought the tickets last year.
I understand it's a win. I understand it's a win, but the league's
happens,
not
Kevin?
Going to allow it.
Okay, but this is what will happen. People get mad, but what happened is I bought the tickets. I couldn't use them all. I gave them to my family who live up there. My nephew, he's 18. He says, you're going to buy tickets again this year? I said, absolutely not. Never again. But guess what he did? He bought tickets. They're cheaper seats, but I converted him. I got him to fall in love with the team.
Okay,
if you give the people that are older.
Do you understand why it won't happen?
No, it makes no sense. Nobody died because of the name.
Because the juice that you would provide in buying tickets and buying merchandise would not outweigh the hassle of the controversy, but much more importantly, the sponsorship and the network pushback, the single biggest revenue source for this league that makes it currently a $19 billion business, the networks and their corporate sponsors will not have it. Sorry.
99% of the fan base will be back. You'll lose 1%, and it'll outweigh any sponsors you lose. What do you have to learn?
No, I'm not talking. You're not listening. You're not listening to me.
Okay.
Not locally. Not locally.
Don't give up.
The league.
You can't be a
the league and the other 31 owners are not going to allow it.
Nope. I don't think I would push them on it. I would make them say we're not allowed to be the Redskins. Make them say it.
Well, that's different.
Don't bail
that's
them
different.
Out.
But thanks. Appreciate the call, as always. So there were a couple of other things I wanted to get to real quickly. First of all, New England today thought it was time to name Jacoby Brissett the number one quarterback. They did that today. Jared Mayo, the new coach, named Jacoby Brissett the team's starting quarterback, saying, quote, he is the most pro ready. Mayo did leave the door open that rookie Drake May could overtake him, but they named Jacoby Brissett currently the number one quarterback. I mentioned this at the start of the show that Mark Maskey had a story this morning in the Washington Post that the NFL Players Association and the league have entered, quote, high level discussions about the potential implementation of an 18 game regular season. Lloyd Howell is the new NFLPA executive director, said during a meeting with the Post yesterday that the talks between the union and the league, while they have not yet progressed to formal negotiations, they have had high-level discussions. Now, the last players' agreement with the league prevented the owners from just going to 18 games. But the collective bargaining agreement expires after the 2030 season. But Hal said that he'll discuss the issue with players during upcoming meetings and left open the possibility that an 18-game schedule could go into effect before the end of the current collective bargaining agreement, which, again, specifically prohibits the league and owners from unilaterally extending the regular season to 18 games. I think I've said this before, 2026 will be the first year of an 18-game schedule, in my opinion. They're going to figure out ways to make the players comfortable with this. The number one way in which they should be more comfortable is that it will equate to eventually more revenue because it's an additional Sunday of football, and it will likely be two additional Sundays and weekends of football because with an 18-game schedule will likely come with two bye weeks during the course of a season. So you'll end up with a 20-week regular season with two byes. Currently, you have an 18-game regular season with one bye, playing 17 games. Will two additional full-fledged regular seasons games from 1 o'clock until Sunday night with a Monday nighter and a Thursday nighter will mean more revenue for the league, in which the players then get their 48.5% cut. More money for the players as well. And so that's the bottom line. You will end up, I think, by 2026 with two preseason games. I think it'll be preseason games. Could look differently. But two preseason games and probably with a formal scrimmage. And then 18 regular season games with two bye weeks. With, ultimately, that leading to a Super Bowl on President's Day weekend. So that the Super Bowl is played on that weekend and everybody has the day off after the Super Bowl. One more thing that I wanted to mention. The U.S. men's basketball team that is headed to Paris just finished up their lead-up schedule in London with a close victory over Germany yesterday, 92-88. That followed a near stunner. They almost lost to South Sudan over the weekend. They beat South Sudan by a point. They were 43.5-point favorites. It would have been likely thought of as the biggest upset in international basketball history, but LeBron bailed them out. LeBron James, and I watched some of this game yesterday, he's 39 years old. We talked about this during the regular season. He may be better right now than he was at 29 years old. He is so good right now. He is a much better shooter, a much better at times playmaker. He looks bigger and stronger than he's ever looked. He strapped that team to his back yesterday, led them to a win over Germany. They've had a challenging lead up to these Olympics. They'll still be the favorite. He finished with 26-4. He had the game-winning bucket to bail him out against South Sudan. And, you know, I was reading from one of the game stories, and you could see this on the telecast of the game. When LeBron makes a big play, the bench with players that are much younger are just going nuts. They can't believe how good he is right now at 39. I've never been a massive LeBron guy, but man, he has been awesome in both this past season in the NBA and internationally. And it's going to be fun to see them in the Olympics. And he was named the flag bearer for the entire Olympic team. He will lead them into wherever the Paris, you know, opening ceremonies are. First male basketball player to ever be a flag bearer for the Summer Olympic team. Team USA finished the pre-Olympic activity with a 5-0 record, but there were some close calls. But man, is LeBron James playing at a high level. All right, when we come back, we will talk to Logan Paulson. It's right after these words from a few of our sponsors. You're listening to the Kevin Sheehan Show on the Team 980, theteam980.com. You can also listen to us wherever you want, whenever you want, if you download the Odyssey app. All right, there are a couple things I want to get to here momentarily. Logan Paulson will join us at noon, but Sabah's on the phone, and she wants to weigh in, I think, on the press conference that just happened. What's up, Sabah? We haven't heard from you in a while. How are you?
Hey there, Kevin. Thanks for taking my call. I've been listening. It's just, you know, you're usually during working hours for me, so but I got some vacation coming up. So, the press conference was fine with me. I just like the fact that they're going to hopefully make people earn their positions. I don't care where you drafted. Earn the right to play. Show your teammates that you're the best person, guy for the job, and then you announce people. So you don't just anoint people and give them things. And the second thing I really want to chime in, if you don't mind, about this name thing in your interview with Mark Ein. I'm with that Robert guy. I mean, it's not the same, Kevin. I thought that I was so joyous when Dan sold the team because I thought that everything would come back to normal. Well, nothing's normal. It's like they gave my guy, my son, puberty blockers, and now he's never going to be the same again.
Oh my
I mean,
gosh.
You know, it's Jesus. It's just, it's horrible. I mean, I'd almost rather have Dan on the team and we be the Redskins. I want my identity. It's a bad taste of my mouth.
Identity is just a word that's used a lot these days, as puberty blockers is a word that's used a lot in the discourse. But I didn't think you'd use both in the same sentence.
Stuff and what happens
I get it. And you heard what I said. Robert wrote, "Make it right for those of us that are happy Snyder is gone, but not as happy as we should be." I think he summed it up for a lot of people. I agree.
Yes, he did. And I'd rather have Snyder back and my name back. See, Snyder duped us one. He won in the end. He said, "I'll never sell the Redskins." And guess what he never did? He never sold the Redskins. He's the one that won. He's got $6 billion, and we're left to cry about it. And we can't even celebrate.
He didn't sell that team. I hear you, but I don't think that I would make that swap because here's the thing. I think more than you, I think some of us were already losing our passion because he had worn us out after 22, 23 years. And then the name was just a death blow in many ways. But no, I don't think I would even think about swapping, giving the name back and having Dan back, because you were never, ever going to be good as long as he owned the team.
But at least I knew who he were. Now, one more thing on the name, Kevin, if you don't mind. I think you're right. I think you said this, but if we get the name back, just go to Redskins, because you're not going to make everybody happy. So
they're not doing it, Sabah. The league will not let them do it.
Hear me out. People like me will buy tickets. You know, I bought the tickets last year.
I understand it's a win. I understand it's a win, but the league's not going to allow it.
Okay, but this is what will happen. People get mad, but what happened is I bought the tickets. I couldn't use them all. I gave them to my family who live up there. My nephew, he's 18. He says, you going to buy tickets again this year? I said, absolutely not. Never again. But guess what he did? He bought tickets. They're cheaper seats, yeah. But I converted him. I got him to fall in love with the team. Okay. If you give the people that are older.
Do you understand why it won't happen?
No, it makes no sense. Nobody died because of the name, and the juice that you would provide
in buying tickets and buying merchandise would not outweigh the hassle of the controversy, but much more importantly, the sponsorship and the network pushback, the single biggest revenue source for this league that makes it currently a $19 billion business. The networks and their corporate sponsors will not have it. Sorry.
99% of the fan base will be back. You'll lose 1%, and it'll outweigh any sponsors you lose. What do you have to lose?
No, I'm not talking. You're not listening. You're not listening to me.
Okay.
Not locally. Not locally.
Don't give up.
The league.
You can't be a
the league and the other 31 owners are not going to allow it.
Nope. I don't think I would push them on it. I would make them say we're not allowed to be the Redskins. Make them say it.
Well, that's different.
Don't bail them out.
But thanks. Appreciate the call, as always. So there were a couple of other things I wanted to get to real quickly. First of all, New England today thought it was time to name Jacoby Brissett the number one quarterback. They did that today. Jared Mayo, the new coach, named Jacoby Brissett the team's starting quarterback, saying, quote, he is the most pro-ready. Mayo did leave the door open that rookie Drake May could overtake him, but they named Jacoby Brissett currently the number one quarterback. I mentioned this at the start of the show, that Mark Maskey had a story this morning in the Washington Post that the NFL Players Association and the league have entered, quote, high-level discussions about the potential implementation of an 18-game regular season. Lloyd Howell is the new NFLPA executive director, said during a meeting with the Post yesterday that the talks between the union and the league, while they have not yet progressed to formal negotiations, they have had high-level discussions. Now, the last players' agreement with the league prevented the owners from just going to 18 games. But the collective bargaining agreement expires after the 2030 season. But Hal said that he'll discuss the issue with players during upcoming meetings and left open the possibility that an 18-game schedule could go into effect before the end of the current collective bargaining agreement, which again specifically prohibits the league and owners from unilaterally extending the regular season to 18 games. I think I've said this before, 2026 will be the first year of an 18-game schedule, in my opinion. They're going to figure out ways to make the players comfortable with this. The number one way in which they should be more comfortable is that it will equate to eventually more revenue because it's an additional Sunday of football, and it will likely be two additional Sundays and weekends of football because with an 18-game schedule will likely come with two bye weeks during the course of a season. So you'll end up with a 20-week regular season with two byes. Currently, you have an 18-game regular season with one bye, playing 17 games. Will two additional full-fledged regular seasons games from 1 o'clock until Sunday night with a Monday nighter and a Thursday nighter will mean more revenue for the league, in which the players then get their 48.5% cut. More money for the players as well. And so that's the bottom line. You will end up, I think, by 2026 with two preseason games. I think it'll be preseason games. Could look differently. But two preseason games and probably with a formal scrimmage. And then 18 regular season games with two bye weeks. With, ultimately, that leading to a Super Bowl on President's Day weekend. So that the Super Bowl is played on that weekend and everybody has the day off after the Super Bowl. One more thing that I wanted to mention. The U.S. men's basketball team that is headed to Paris just finished up their lead-up schedule in London with a close victory over Germany yesterday, 92-88. That followed a near stunner. They almost lost to South Sudan over the weekend. They beat South Sudan by a point. They were 43.5-point favorites. It would have been likely thought of as the biggest upset in international basketball history, but LeBron bailed him out. LeBron James, and I watched some of this game yesterday, he's 39 years old. We talked about this during the regular season. He may be better right now than he was at 29 years old. He is so good right now. He is a much better shooter, a much better at times playmaker. He looks bigger and stronger than he's ever looked. He strapped that team to his back yesterday, led them to a win over Germany. They've had a challenging lead up to these Olympics. They'll still be the favorite. He finished with 26-4. He had the game winning bucket to bail him out against South Sudan. And, you know, I was reading from one of the game stories, and you could see this on the telecast of the game. When LeBron makes a big play, the bench with players that are much younger are just going nuts. They can't believe how good he is right now at 39. I've never been a massive LeBron guy, but man, he has been awesome in both this past season in the NBA and internationally. And it's going to be fun to see them in the Olympics. And he was named the flag bearer for the entire Olympic team. He will lead them into wherever the Paris, you know, opening ceremonies are. First male basketball player to ever be a flag bearer for the Summer Olympic team. Team USA finished the pre-Olympic activity with a 5-0 record, but there were some close calls. But man, is LeBron James playing at a high level. All right, when we come back, we will talk to Logan Paulson. It's right after these words from a few of our sponsors. You're listening to the Kevin Sheehan Show on the Team 980, theteam980.com. You can also listen to us wherever you want, whenever you want, if you download the Odyssey app.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Norse taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Norse.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, oh, oh. O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly.